Wonderland, Part 11. Rose. Rose sat between Pete and Larry, feeling lighter. All those things that had been weighing her down were beginning to lift. She was feeling braver every day. Just yesterday, she had gone barefoot and ridden her skateboard around Magnolia Estates, even in front of the Sims' house with Amanda and a bunch of girls doing gymnastics on the lawn. She had even waved to them. Amanda had looked surprised, but she had waved back. Then she'd told her mother she wasn't interested in joining the mother-daughter book club if Mavis and her mother couldn't join too. But the biggest weight had been worrying about Mr. Duffy, how he was taking care of Henry, and she could already tell he was happier. He whistled while he worked in the gatehouse. He started saying, "What's shaking, Bacon?" like he used to. When it was time to go home, he said, "Look out, catfish, here I come." He had even played the kazoo yesterday. Things were definitely getting better. But Rose did have one little twinge of worry. Her mother and the ladies in her bridge club. Were still complaining about Mr. Duffy. He forgot to call someone to check on the floodlights down by the tennis courts. He let a car full of teenagers come through the gate to visit Tyler Reed, and they were definitely not on the approved visitor list. And Audrey Junker was almost certain Mr. Duffy had been sleeping when she drove through the gate the other day. Rose pushed that worry away and skipped up the street to the gatehouse. She wished Mavis were home, but today Mrs. Jeter's day off, and the two of them had taken the bus to town. As soon as she went into the gatehouse, Mr. Duffy said, "Hey there, Rose Petal." Henry lay on Queenie's bed beside Mr. Duffy's chair, thumping his tail on the floor. Rose noticed some of Queenie's old toys on the bed beside him, even that felt monkey with the stuffing ripped out of it. Queenie's favorite. Rose couldn't help but smile about that. Everything was feeling so good again. Maybe Mr. Duffy would do some magic tricks or ask her to tap dance. But just when Rose was thinking Mr. Duffy might take out his kazoo, he put his hands on her shoulders and said, "I have something to tell you, Rose." Henry. Henry had never known that dogs could live a life like the one he was living with Mr. Duffy. Ever since the day that Roger had gotten into the Wonderland van and driven away from the little gatehouse without him, Henry's life had been full of firsts. He had ridden in a truck, with his head out the window, letting the wind blow his flapping ears and watching the whole world of stores and houses and fields and barns whisk by. He had walked beside Mr. Duffy around the lake, the water glistening in the late afternoon sun. He had gone inside Mr. Duffy's trailer, which smelled like he imagined a home would smell, like old shoes, biscuits, and bacon. Mr. Duffy made hot dogs and baked beans for supper and shared them with him, even letting him up on the couch to eat from a paper plate beside him. Sometimes Mr. Duffy was quiet, but sometimes he talked to Henry. He grumbled about his arthritis and remarked about the evening air getting a little cooler and apologized for his lousy cooking. The scent of another dog lingered on the sofa and the rugs and even on Mr. Duffy's slippers under the bed. Henry wondered where that dog was now. When the sun went down on that first night, Mr. Duffy turned out the lights in the trailer and motioned for Henry to sleep on the rug beside his bed. In the middle of the night, Henry jumped onto the bed and nestled down among the cool, thin sheets. When Mr. Duffy woke the next morning to find him there, he mumbled something under his breath, but he didn't make him get down. Henry slept on the bed every night after that. In the mornings, they ate scrambled eggs and bacon for breakfast and went for a walk down by the lake. Then they got in the truck and drove to the little gatehouse, where Rose and Mavis came to visit every day. But today, Rose had come alone. Henry was glad to see her and thumped his tail at her. Then Mr. Duffy had gotten a serious look on his face, and told Rose something that made her cry. Mavis. Mavis stared out the window of the bus at the sights of Landry, Alabama, beyond the gates of Magnolia Estates. The trailer parks with dirty, stained trailers sitting every which way among the white oak trees. The cotton fields stretched out between farmhouses with sheets on the clothesline and pickup trucks filled with bales of hay in the gravel driveways. Sometimes children waved to the bus from the front porch. The sickly sweet smell of her mother's cologne drifted toward Mavis, making her eyes water. She waved her hand in front of her nose and opened the window on the bus, letting the hot summer air blow in. "Tell me again why I had to come with you," Mavis said. "I want you to see more of Landry, Maymay." "Why?" "'Cause I think you'll like it. There's a lot more to Landry than that snooty Magnolia Estates, you know." But Mavis knew there was some other reasons for this bus trip. That tightness in her stomach told her that this wasn't a sightseeing trip. She was almost 11 years old. Did her mother think she was still that little 6-year-old Mavis who believed everything her mother told her? The Mavis who had went along on every new adventure with her mother, thinking everything was going to turn out great, like her mother promised it would. Well, she wasn't that little Mavis anymore. This Mavis could smell something fishy a mile away. And in addition to that sickly smell of her mother's cologne, there was most definitely a fishy smell wafting around Mavis as she sat on that bus. Before long, the view outside the window began to change. The farms and cotton fields disappeared, and in their place were neighborhoods with tree-lined streets and kids playing in the yards. And they got closer to town. They passed JBJ's used car lot, Bucky's Diner, Oak Grove Baptist Church, Ruth Ann's Cut and Curl. "Check it out," her mother leaned over and pointed out the window. "That's your school." Landry Elementary School was a 2-story brick building beside a dusty playground with a tiny square of blacktop with a basketball hoop. Scattered in the dirt and gravel were remnants of long ago recess, half of a frayed jump rope and a deflated soccer ball. Finally, the bus came to a stop, brakes screeching. "This is it," her mother said. "Come on." Mavis followed her mother up the aisles and down the steps to the sidewalk. The doors of the bus closed with a whoosh, and the bus drove off, leaving a puff of black smoke behind it. "Ta-da!" Her mother threw her arms out and grinned at Mavis. There in front of them were 4 small apartment buildings, 2 on each side of a wide strip of dry yellow grass. In the grass strip were a couple of picnic tables and a swing set. Kids playing on the swings while grown-ups sat in the picnic tables playing cards and bouncing babies on their laps. Some of the apartments on the ground floor had pots of flowers by their doors or bicycles lying beside the walkway. The second floor apartments had tiny balconies where laundry dried on the railings and old people sat in aluminum lawn chairs. A sun-bleached peeling sign off the road read Garden View Apartments. "Where's the garden?" Mavis said. Her mother frowned. "What?" "The garden." Mavis nodded toward the sign, making a clump of curls flop over her forehead. "Ah, come on, Maymay," her mother said. "Can't you look on the bright side of things for once?" "Which side is the bright one?" Mavis was trying very hard to act nonchalant, but her insides were stirring around like a swarm of angry bees. And that fishy smell was getting stinkier by the minute. "They've got a couple of empty apartments, and I'm telling you, May, they're really nice inside." Her mother gave her a little poke on the arm. "Dishwashers and everything," she added. Mavis didn't want her mother to beat around the bush. She wanted to go straight to the cold, hard facts. "Why are we here?" she asked. Her mother shifted her purse from one shoulder to the other. "Okay. I'm thinking of getting me a new job in Landry, a better job, a job where some highfalutin woman doesn't make me feel like a dumb, worthless piece of nothing." "And what job is that?" Her mother flopped down on the bus stop bench. "I don't know yet," she said, "but I've made some calls, and I've got a couple of prospects. I got a good feeling about this, Maymay." Mavis, swarming bees inside, turning into a big ball of dread. Her mother had a good feeling about a lot of things before, but most of the time those things had turned out to be a long way from good. Rose. "I'm quitting, Rose Petal," Mr. Duffy said. "Quitting?" Mr. Duffy nodded. "This job?" Rose asked. He nodded again. Then all the worry that had been swirling around Rose for so long came crashing down. Boom! She sat in Mr. Duffy's desk chair and sobbed. Mr. Duffy put his hands on the arm of the chair and said, "Don't cry, Rosie. It's not the end of the world." But it felt like the end of the world to Rose, at least the end of her world. She couldn't imagine Magnolia Estates without Mr. Duffy. "Aw, now, you don't need to be hanging around an old whopper-jawed geezer like me," he said. "You got yourself a fine new friend in Mavis." But Rose kept sobbing, taking big gulps of air and swiping at her tear-stained face. Mr. Duffy continued in a soft voice. He was too old for this job, he said. He had outlived his usefulness with this job, he told her. He might as well get out while the getting was good, he explained. I never really did feel like the folks behind this gate took a shine to me, he said. I reckon I've always felt like I was hanging around like a hare in a biscuit. You know, not fitting in with these uppity folks. And then he gave Rose's shoulders a little shake. "Not that your folks are uppity, Rosie. They raised a fine girl like you, so that means something in my book." Rose's head was spinning and her heart was breaking. The day had come. Mr. Duffy was leaving. "But wait till you hear the good part," he said, giving her knee a little poke. Rose wiped her nose and looked at him through teary eyes. "What good part?" "The part about my new job," he said. "What new job?" "At Wonderland." "Wonderland?" Mr. Duffy nodded. "Wonderland." Then he went on to explain that Wonderland was closing and that the bald man Roger needed help finding homes for all the greyhounds there. "We're going to be busier than a moth in a mitten," he said. "But why is Wonderland closing?" Rose asked. "Well, you know, dog raising just ain't that popular anymore," Mr. Duffy said. "A lot of folks think those dogs don't have such a good life, cooped up in a kennel half the dang day, spraining their knees and working so hard." He glanced over at Henry, asleep on Queenie's bed beside the desk. "Dogs need homes with folks who love 'em and give 'em tuna fish sandwiches once in a while. They need to sleep on a couch and have room to run free and chase rabbits instead of fake ones around the circles on that dang racetrack." He gazed out the window and nodded. "This is a good thing for those dogs," turning back to Rose. "The job's only 2 days a week. Just think about all the fishing time me and Henry are going to have." "You and Henry?" "Well, yeah, you know, till I find someone to adopt him," Mr. Duffy said. "And I'll be able to make sure he gets a good home." "But what if you don't like that job?" Rose said. "Will you come back?" Mr. Duffy leaned down and took Rosie's chin in his hand. It was warm and smelled faintly of fish. "The corn's off the cob, Rosie. Too late to come back." Then the two of them sat for a while talking, just listening to Henry snore, until Rosie said, "I better go." Mavis. Mavis sat on the log in the vacant lot and stared gloomily at the wildflowers and the bramble bushes and the small gold sign that read, "Build your dream home here." Dream home. Ha! Mavis had never had a dream home in her life. Her mother had always made her think that each new place they landed was a dream home. The condo in Atlanta, the apartment over the Chinese restaurant in South Carolina, that shabby old house they shared with the crazy lady, some place Mavis couldn't even remember, that brick house owned by her mother's hot-headed boyfriend in Hadley, Georgia, on and on and on. dream homes. Hardly. And every single time Mavis had tried to have a best friend, but every single time they hadn't stayed long enough for that to happen. Now, finally, they had a nice place here in Landry, Alabama, and she really did have a best friend. Mavis felt sure if her mother quit her job with the Dullies, Rose wouldn't want to be her friend anymore. Why would she? They wouldn't be able to see each other every day. They wouldn't have any more adventures like the one they'd had when they went to Wonderland. They couldn't visit Mr. Duffy and play checkers. Besides, Mrs. Tully would be so mad at her mother for quitting, she wouldn't want Rose to play with Mavis anymore. Then a thought popped into Mavis's head. School would be starting in a few weeks. They would see each other at school. They could still be best friends. They could eat lunch together and have club meetings at recess and choose each other as partners in science class and stuff like that. But then another thought popped into Mavis's head. Did Rose even go to Landry Elementary School? Probably not. She probably went to some fancy school where the kids wore uniforms and went on field trips to Disney World, and the lunch ladies served them fried chicken and apple pie on china plates. Mavis had been avoiding Rose the last few days, staying up in the apartment or dashing down here to the vacant lot, not even going to see Mr. Duffy in case Rose was there. But now she looked at the empty spot on the log beside her and felt that loneliness come creeping back. She needed to see Rose. Mavis made her way up the street, her thoughts weighing her down and making her walk slow and slumping. Unfortunately, walking up the street toward her was Amanda Sim, wearing a bathing suit and carrying a towel. Dang, Mavis was not in the mood to talk to her. "Hey," Amanda called when she saw Mavis. Mavis said, "Hey," and tried to keep walking, but Amanda stopped beside her and said, "So I guess I was right about Mr. Duffy." "What do you mean?" "About him leaving." "Leaving?" Amanda nodded and flipped her cantaloupe-colored ponytail over her shoulder. "Where's he going?" Mavis said. "I don't know." "How do you know he's leaving?" "My mother told me," Amanda said. "Is he keeping that dog y'all took up there?" "Yes." Mavis's fib came out fast and easy. But if her plan worked, and she was sure it would, Mr. Duffy was going to keep Henry. Now her thoughts were racing. Did Rose know about Mr. Duffy? If she did, she would be really upset. Mavis suddenly had guilt poking at her from every direction. She had been so busy moping about her mother's new job that she hadn't even thought much about Rose. A best friend wouldn't do that. Why was she so bad at being a best friend? "What's Rose going to do?" Amanda asked. "What do you mean?" "All she ever does is stay up at the gatehouse with Mr. Duffy," Amanda said. "There's lots of other stuff to do in Magnolia Estates. The Junior Garden Club, the Mother-Daughter Book Club, the tennis team, the..." "Rose doesn't want to do any of that stuff," Mavis said. "She could do gymnastics in my yard with me and Mimi Fay," Amanda said. "You can come too, unless you would rather play with those lions on Rosie's porch." Mavis's face burned with anger. She wanted to give that cantaloupe ponytail a good yank, but for once self-control tapped her on the shoulder and told her to cool it, and then she stood up straight and lifted her chin and walked away from Amanda Sim. She needed to check on her best friend Rose. All right, girls, that's it for tonight. Love you.